Welcome back to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. In researching his new book, North Carolina Civil War Monuments, An Illustrated History, author-photographer Douglas Butler plowed through thousands of pages of financial documents, letters, and other primary source materials. In doing so, he was able to painstakingly piece together the stories behind each of the more than 100 Civil War monuments scattered across our state. Doug's clear and informative prose is accompanied by the artful photographic images he captured of each North Carolina monument. Some of these monuments, handcrafted with expensive tools and materials, others, not so much, and for good reason.
That's right. Cost was a major factor. North Carolina was broke after the Civil War. All the Confederate currency was worthless. State debts were repudiated. There was very little hard capital in North Carolina. And so cost was a major factor. Early on, some of the monuments were rather modest obelisks put up in cemeteries marking the mass graves of the Confederate dead. And when it went to the civic space monuments in about 1900, late 1890s, on up through the first and second decade of the 1900s, cost was a major factor. Some of the monuments, the statues, for instance, were mass-produced stamped metal figures from northern factories. Others were copies that were forged, and some were cheaply produced imitations carved overseas in the low-wage countries by low-wage artisans, and in this case, it was in Germany and Italy. There were only about three or four major North Carolina monuments that were commissioned sculptures. Included in those three would be Silent Sam at UNC Chapel Hill, Fame, the monument in Salisbury, and the soldier figure atop the Oakdale Cemetery Monument in Wilmington, North Carolina, are three of the most notable commissioned sculptures.
Regardless of the cost of the memorials, grieving and finding ways to memorialize soldiers, that's going on. What did you discover along those lines that maybe surprised you?
One of the things that surprised me was the evolution of the grief process as demonstrated through the monuments. I compared it to the five stages of the Kubler-Ross grieving process that a lot of people see. And going back through the history of the monuments, you notice early on, the first Confederate monument in the South was put up in South Carolina, just across the border in Cheraw, South Carolina. And it showed a toppled palmetto tree. It was uprooted. It said fallen but not dead. It was still in a state of denial. After that came anger and depression, with symbolism of the destroyed South and just utter devastation in the wording, our Confederate dead, our fellow citizens, our beloved dead, etc. By about 35 or 40 years later, in the early 1900s, some resolution was beginning to show through. Citizens were honoring Confederate veterans as well as the dead, and there was more of an acceptance that the war had been lost, this great tragedy had occurred, but we're moving on. The South is improving. North Carolina's advancing. And then finally, by the 1930s, there seemed to be a full rationalization and acceptance. Oftentimes, the Star Spangled Banner would be played as well as Dixie. The American flag would fly, as would the Confederate battle flag. And in one speech in particular, somebody said, "Don't let this monument cause any old hatreds or bitterness to rise up. We're all Americans. We're proud to be Americans. We're a unified country, and that's the way it should be."
Of the 101-plus memorials you photographed, 8 or 9 of them were to Union troops.
That's correct. There's 109 Civil War monuments in North Carolina. 101 are Confederate, and 8 are Union.
Of those 8, how many of those were produced by or created by and for those with Union sensibilities? Or were they created by transplants?
The first Union monument was sponsored by the federal government. It was put up in Salisbury at the site of the former Confederate prison at the mass graves that over 11,000 Union soldiers died at the Salisbury prison. And this monument was put up in the mid-1870s. We don't have an exact date. The contract called for it to be put up before December 31st, 1876. It was 50 feet high, paid for by the federal government and topped with a laurel wreath, the laurel wreath of victory, announcing the federal government had won. The next Union commemorations were put up by individual states, and six states put up commemorations in the national cemeteries. Two were in Salisbury National Cemetery and four in New Bern Cemetery. And these were put up by individual states between 1894 and 1911.
Salisbury mentioned several times in this. Why was that a focal point for memorials?
Salisbury was a very important city. It was a transportation hub in North Carolina, a main stop on the North Carolina Railroad, and one of the most prominent cities in the state at that time. It was also the site of the Confederate prison, which had a large number of Union fatalities. The number was approximately 11,700, the second highest fatality total after Andersonville. And it was a wealthy town, it was a transportation hub, and it just became a focus of commemorative activity from each side.
It's just a fascinating time in our history, and you're seeing it from so many different perspectives. I'm wondering what else might, surprise the layperson about what went into making the decision to build monuments here versus there and competing interests.
There were a lot of competing interests because different groups tried to advance their own version of public memory. The war definitely had been lost. All the symbolism and prose on the monuments clearly stated that. But each group tried to advance their own vision of what the war had been about and what it had accomplished. There were groups that wanted to honor the Confederate soldiers. They did not necessarily want to praise the defeated Confederacy, but they wanted to honor the men who had fought and died in defense of North Carolina and the Confederate States. There were other groups that really wanted to forget about the war, and there's some very spirited editorial exchanges that I came across. People said, we should just forget about this war. And other people said, no, we must remember these men who died because they gave so much.
North Carolina Civil War Monuments and Illustrated History, author, photographer, physician, adventurer, Douglas Butler. Doug and his work are part of the Associated Artists of Winston-Salem pop-up exhibition and art sale at 113 Renolda Village near the Village Tavern. And on Sunday, December 7th from 11 to 3, he'll hold a book event there for his recent publication, North Carolina Civil War Monuments and Illustrated History, out on McFarland Press. Doug's solo photo exhibition at Wake Forest Law and Business Clinic will remain on display through January 31st, and you'll find links to some of his images at wfdd.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend.